We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
KC Laboratories. Sponsored by Emprise Bank.
It's another live edition of the KC Laboratory presented by Emprise Bank. Look, there's more options to do banking now more than ever, and who you're working with is more important than how close they are to your home. Emprise Bank has digital banking that meets you where you are, on your phone, on your computer, even your smartwatch. They're a trusted partner at your fingertips, and they're our trusted partner here at KC Sports Network. So appreciative of them. Emprise Bank member FDIC. I laughed at the fact this was a live show because I forgot it was live. Sorry that we're a couple minutes late. I came in very casually.
Listen, bad. The star gets what the star wants, right? Like, you know, hair and makeup took a little too long. It wasn't perfect. He had to get a redo. He came in late, slides in the chair. And it's just like, oh, you know, Tuck's like, hey, are you ready? Because we're already late. And Kent's like, no, I need a second. I got to get in the zone. I got to go through my exercises before we podcast. So here we are again. We are sorry that we are late. It is exactly, it is no one person's fault. Kent is fantastic. We all love him so very much.
It's my fault.
It's his fault. That guy right there. I'm pointing directly at him. Yeah. It's his fault. But yeah, no, I just appreciate that. Kent, you know, has the world kind of move at his whim generally as he floats through life. So I understand how occasionally he just feels like me and Maddie are going to do the same, and we're more than happy to oblige.
Everything makes so much more sense now that I jumped on and you guys were like about to change the layout of the show because you thought I wasn't showing up. Okay, it's all coming back to me now. I was like, guys, what are you talking about? It's 8 o'clock on the dot. Everything is coming back. Everything's coming to me. Tucker was being aggressive to get us
Tuck
going.
Was putting you in your place.
And like, that's the most aggressive Tucker's been ever. Like, this is all coming back to it. It all makes sense.
Now, my apologies. I don't know if you know this, Kit, but every Monday we are in fact live for the KC Laboratory. So if you guys are here, we appreciate it. You know, look down there, hit the like, subscribe, leave a comment. We would appreciate all these things. And if you tell us in the comment section, you might need to remind Kent that every Monday is a live show so that way he remembers. But going forward, Kent, just so you're aware, there is in fact a live show on Mondays.
If you guys want to roast me throughout the entirety of this show, by all means, Tucker will throw everything up onto the bottom of the screen. You can just let it all out. Just go for it. I have no qualms with that. I deserve every single bad joke that comes from it, and they won't be my bad jokes. But thank you for coming and hanging out with us and allowing us to be 2 minutes late. You know, these guys, we can only corral them so well. Let's talk about Orlando Brown. I think that's what
we
want to
talk about. Something more exciting first.
What do you want to talk about?
Should Jimmy have taken the shot?
Oh yes, 100%.
Yes.
Okay, you guys pigeonhole yourselves as football guys, but you guys, you're smart in the basketball world too. I thought we were going to get some pushback somewhere on here for that. So never mind, we can continue. It's not even a fun talking point because we're all in the same boat here.
Zero regrets if I'm Jimmy Butler. Okay, so here's the thing: Orlando Brown, the saga continues. The Chiefs, he's on the franchise tag, does not have an agent. And that is definitely slowing some things down. But it does make you a little bit nervous here at the same time. You get some reports that are coming out recently Orlando Brown potentially looking to be the highest paid left tackle in football. Orlando Brown, you know, he still doesn't have an agent. Some of these comments are happening. So very interesting. I don't want to say saga is not the right word yet. It's just an interesting story to me that, you know, the Chiefs left tackle needs one thing to happen for negotiations to occur, doesn't have it, and has reportedly very high, lofty expectations. I think it's been very fascinating to this point, Maddie. I don't know how you feel about it.
It's gone on long enough now that I don't want to say concerned, but it's gone on long enough that it's no longer, I guess, like a no big deal. Last time we talked about this, I think it was just kind of like, oh yeah, it's no big deal if it happens right now. Don't expect anything in a hurry. And so just don't move. You know, we'll get to that bridge when we get there. We'll cross it at that point in time. It's gone on far enough now that, like you said, he doesn't have an agent. It doesn't seem like there is any headway being made, not even any headway. It's just like there's not even a ton of seems communication back and forth. I don't know if it's anything worth being concerned about. I wouldn't go that far by any means, because these things can happen quick. But it's interesting that they just have kind of gotten nowhere at this point in time. They just kind of nothing's happened. Now, there's nothing pressing the Chiefs to say it has to be done. Like there's no reason to make it happen right now. So that's going to be part of it. It's just you think there would be a little bit kind of happening by now would have been my thought.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I would have thought that we'd at least have some kind of movement, and we just haven't yet. That's not to say that there's not going to be something done. I think Brett Veach and Orlando Brown Jr. both want to get something done. Throughout the offseason, Orlando Brown Jr. said, you know, I got this coming up. I got Pat's wedding coming up. I got all this other stuff coming up that I want to do first. And yeah, not signing an agent definitely means that there's no urgency there, because I mean, Orlando Brown Jr. can definitely represent himself, and if he's representing himself, well then he's going to do what he thinks is best for him. And if he thinks, hey, I'm going to send out OTAs, come to the table, give him my number, accept what I'm going to accept, and we're going to go from there, well then that's fine. You know, I don't think that there's a worry there with him not signing an agent, but I do think if he did have an agent, he'd be starting to get a little bit more nudging from that guy saying, it's like, hey man, We need to sit down at the table, because I got to make my commission here. If Orlando Brown Jr. is truly planning on representing himself, he could just be waiting this thing out for a little while longer.
I'm just, you know, ink can dry in Miami, or in Hawaii. I mean, ink can dry. I mean, you can DocuSign from Hawaii, you know. I read that tweet back in, you know, the beginning of the offseason. I'm like, you know, you can make, You don't have to be like, you're not planning Mahomes' wedding, you know. Like, I think you can multitask a little bit here. I wish there was a little bit more urgency with the agency side of this process, because you're deep into the summer, and I would, you know, you would hope to have some kind of well established, you know, relationship with the agent too by now. But the Chiefs can't do that. You know, there's positive things that I like. I like the fact that, you know, you heard Mahomes saying that he's in touch with him on a weekly basis. You know, when he was sitting in the press conference this last week, you know, he's in talks with Orlando Brown on a weekly basis. They're staying in touch. That's a good thing. You know, it doesn't seem like, at least on the surface, that there's a ton of reason to be concerned. But at the same time, this has just been such a weird offseason. Like, I don't think the Chiefs rolled into January expecting to trade Tyreek Hill, right?
Right.
And I don't really know if the Chiefs expected the Orlando Brown situation to extend all the way into June or July necessarily. I can't say that definitively, but it does seem like there has been some uncertainty that has been created with players over the last, you know, few months. And this isn't player blaming by any stretch of the word. It's just the reality. These are things that are happening here. And so I'm not nervous that it won't get done. It does not seem like this was in the Chiefs' expectations to, you know, like honestly, if you had told the Chiefs that they wouldn't have Orlando Brown signed or negotiating a long term extension by now, and Tyreek Hill's not on the roster, like, are we sure the Chiefs expected that in January? Like, I don't think they were.
I don't think that was something that they went into the offseason expecting, but I think it turned that way pretty quick. Like, I don't think that this is something that just happened last week, or like this, the whole ordeal, like, right. Like, it turned relatively quickly when it happened, Orlando Brown's been in this situation since they offered him the franchise tag. And before, it was pretty obvious that him and his agent, you know, weren't getting along in the way that they wanted to at the time. He was wanting to move on, get to another agent. The search hasn't gone as quickly as I guess we would hope, and I'm assuming the Chiefs would hope. But I don't think that they were like, I don't think they are completely caught off guard now than when they were when they offered him or put the franchise tag out to him. Like, I don't think that they anticipated like, oh, this is for sure going to be done by May 30th. It's just the lack of movement. Now, both of Orlando Brown's last two off seasons have kind of been weird, though. Demanding to only play left tackle, threatening to hold out in Baltimore until he gets traded, gets traded to the Chiefs. Now he has 2 years of playing left tackle. Probably, you know, this is probably only a year and a half of playing as a top offensive tackle, whether it's right or left side. And now it sounds like he's demanding top end left tackle money. Doesn't have an agent, is on the franchise tag, and he's not holding out. He is definitely not holding out yet. You cannot hold out yet before anything mandatory comes about, but he's not doing team activities as of right now again, because he doesn't kind of have to be there. He's not signed under the franchise tag yet. It's just he's had two really weird off seasons back to back, and it's just interesting to start to kind of wrap your mind around the, I guess, the way the player sees business and how it all goes down, because he's definitely approaching the last 2 years very differently than a lot of other guys in football.
Yeah, I've seen kind of a general sentiment from a lot of Chiefs fans. It's like, no, he's not a top 10 left tackle. You can't be paying him top 10 left tackle money. Guess what, guys? The franchise tag puts him number 9, and nobody threw a fit when he signed the franchise tag. Everybody went, okay, yeah, that's what it is. You know, nobody threw a fit about that. Now, all of a sudden, he says, you know, wants to be paid amongst one of the top left tackles. And that's a quote from back in January, by the way. That's not a quote from right now. That's a quote from back in January. After all that, it was one of his advisors that said that. Now all of a sudden everybody's kind of losing their mind a little. Oh, you can't pay him that much. He's not worth that. Guys, that's not how this works. And you know, we can talk round and round about how he's valued, where he's valued, all that stuff. The point is, he is a 26-year-old left tackle. He is going to get a long-term deal, a 5-year deal that will put him at 31, chance to cash in again. So is he going to take top dollar? Maybe, maybe not. But he will be the youngest left tackle in the top 10. He already is. He will continue to be so. He is 26. Everybody else is 27 or older, and a lot of these guys are on the other side of 30. The NFL views youth and progression in a way that is very beneficial for the players catching those contracts. So whether or not you think he is deemed a top 10 tackle in play, it does not matter. He is deemed a top 10 tackle in pay, and he's certainly going to get that this year. So I just know that there's a lot of that sentiment kind of going around already. He's already there. He's going to get a lot of money, and he's going to get a lot of money because he's young and still advancing in his
career. If you're potentially a top 10 player at your position and you're clearly not capped out, you're going to get top 5 player at your position money. If you're correct, top 5, it doesn't matter if you're number 1 or have no chance in hell at being the best player at your position. If you are potentially still ascending and a top 5 player at your position, you are going to reset the market. And this goes for just about every single position in the NFL. Okay, you want to make the case that Orlando Brown might be the 12th best left tackle in the NFL. Okay, that's fine. You still just said he's top 15. He's younger than everybody else. He's still getting better. You can very easily make the case he's ascending. That's a lock for top 5 money at the position. That's just how it works. Like, people get a little too locked in on he's not as good as player X, so he can't make as much. And I'm guilty of it, because that's how, when I talk about values of free agents, that's how I kind of approach it. But I also understand the wiggle room in there. But like, people just get a little too focused on where he stacks up to his peers right now, and not understanding how the market works, how age factors in, and the fact that the NFL doesn't care if you're the 4th or the 5th best left tackle. Like, you're the same player to somebody if you're the 4th or the 5th best left tackle.
Well, and I mean, I'm probably guilty of underrating Orlando Brown a little bit at times too, because I mean, I think he put together some really solid performances last season. And if you go and look at the list of left tackles in the league and have the conversation, like, He probably sitting ninth isn't really bad, especially considering, you know, age, like you guys are all talking about. So, you know, I'm looking at it, and like I kind of want to have this conversation anyway. It's like, where do you evaluate Orlando Brown Jr.? Like, what is the line? I'll just say this: Cam Robinson just got $18 million per year. Orlando Brown Jr. is better than Cam Robinson.
He's better than Cam Robinson.
Trent Williams, who are you taking? Brown or
Trent Williams? Trent Williams is the best left tackle in the league, easily, hands down.
David Bakhtiari. Laramie Tunsil.
That's nuanced.
Yeah, that is. I was going to say, I can make an argument there. I can make an argument for either. Let's say, just for argument's sake, that it's Tunsil. Just to keep the train rolling.
Yeah, Ronnie Stanley.
I think you take Ronnie Stanley. I mean, the Ravens took Ronnie
Stanley. Ravens made that choice.
Now, if we're talking nuanced, are we taking into account Ronnie Stanley's injuries over the last 2 years?
See, that's the other part. Right. Orlando Brown Jr. has been significantly more healthy and more available than Ronnie Stanley.
So Jake Matthews.
Now we're talking.
Yeah, I would take Orlando Brown.
You're looking at the fifth highest paid left tackle in terms of average per years, Jake Matthews. We just said that you could have a layered discussion about Tunsil, maybe Stanley, Colton Miller, Cam Robinson, Garrett Bowles, then Orlando Brown Jr. Like, are we really pounding the table that Orlando Brown Jr. couldn't be better than Bowles, Robinson, Miller, Jake Matthews, Ronnie Stanley, depending on what happens? Like, I keep seeing people say he's not a top 10 left tackle. Like, I just named the top nine.
Now,
I can make an easy case he's better than at least 3, 4, or 5 of those guys ahead of him. Like, who are you pulling to say is better?
Some of the rookies, I think, or some of the, not rookies, but younger guys. Like,
are they actually better right now, though? Like, I feel like if you're going to...
Rashawn Slater might be.
Rashawn Slater, Andrew Thomas. Terron Armstead's probably still better.
Yeah, I don't know where he's at on here.
He's a little bit below.
$15 million APY. Yeah. He's an older guy.
Yeah, but he's 31.
He's also a bunch of injuries.
Yeah, also a bunch of injuries.
Yeah.
Invoke rookies, you're betting on projection versus where they are right now. And if that's the case, why aren't you using the same thing to talk about the Orlando Brown versus the Jake Matthews or versus a Bakhtiari, who's clearly better, but he's also been injured the last 2 years. What's he going to look like 2 years from now? Like, if you're going to invoke projection of a rookie to say they're better than Brown, then you have to do the same thing for him and vets. And I don't get the top 10 talk, and he clearly is, but then you want to talk about, you're splitting hairs between, I don't know, offensive tackle 7 and offensive tackle 12. And like, why are we going to argue about the money there? Those guys are all going to get top 5 left tackle money.
Well,
absolutely.
If you look at offensive tackle, you call it offensive tackle 12, it's $16 million, $15.5 million. And if you look offensive tackle 7, it's Cam Robinson at $18 million. You know, so you're talking a couple million dollars here and there.
I think the argument is that people don't want to pay him in excess of like the $23 million that Trent Williams made. And I get that. I understand what the thing is. They're looking at it and going, Trent Williams is a better player. And I understand that Trent Williams is also 34. I mean, and has had some injury things as well. If you wanted to tell me that he got paid, you know, the $22 million or $23 million that Laramie Tunsil or David Bakhtiari get, like, I don't think that I'd blink at that. Again, you got to think, it's not in the structure of we are paying him that right this very moment. The last years of that contract are going to be the heavy ones. Those are going to be the ones that are going to have all the backloaded money on it. That's how the Chiefs always structure these contracts. So over the first 3 years of this contract, you're probably not paying him an insane amount of money. And then it's going to ramp up right when the cap is ramping up and all of that. Then you can restructure him. You can sign an extension then, kick it further down the road. I mean, there's lots of flexibility with that. In reality, it's going to end up looking closer to like a 3-year deal, maybe with a little bit of money on the fourth year. That's when the big money's going to hit. So I hear all this stuff. Oh, you can't pay him that much because if you pay $23 million and Patrick Mahomes $30 million, then you can't afford anybody. It's not true. They know how to do this. They've worked this out in the past. I mean, they're getting ready to unsheath, you know, like a ton of giant contracts. They just did it this year. They got some more they can do next year. You got to spend the money somehow. Spend it on the young guy that can protect your quarterback.
Okay, if you were willing to go to the Trent Williams or a beyond contract, why not just go to the Trent Williams contract for Trent Williams? So, like, if you are willing to go above Trent Williams for Orlando Brown, why not last year just keep going until you outbid the 49ers for him? Because he was going to go somewhere if they outbid him. Now, if San Francisco the talks lasted that long because he was going to get the most money he could. He was just going to choose going back to Kyle if all things were even. But I'm just saying, if you're willing, as the Chiefs were, to play in this high 20s, they were willing to make Trent Williams the highest, you know, tied to be the highest paid left tackle in the NFL. If you're willing to pay that much for Orlando Brown now, why not just have gone up to $24 million for Trent Williams last year or whatever it took to get the better player? Same thing. You're looking at a 3-year deal roughly before you can start to get out of it. It's just, I wonder if they would go that high on Orlando Brown Jr. after not doing so last year.
Because Brett Veach doesn't pay olds like that.
He tried.
And he was going to be the anomaly. And so that's, I can see him drawing a line in the sand and saying, hey, I'm not paying a 34-year-old guy a 5-year deal for $23 million. Yeah. Just can't do it.
Yeah. And I mean, Orlando Brown was much more of an unknown last, you know, I think he's proven himself to be worth not letting walk out the building. And I think that's that's something that comes into factor. A lot's changed in the last year too, since the Chiefs were willing to pay Trent Williams a lot of money. And you look at the stability that the Chiefs have on their offensive line with two cheap rookies under club control for the next 2 years at center and right guard, and maybe even right tackle if one of Lucas Niang, one of Darian Kennard figures it out there. Like, you've learned a lot more about what to expect up front, and the allocation of your cash can be a lot different at the offensive line position a year today than it was a year ago, because you've established your offensive line in a very real way. So even, yes, we could talk about, you know, some hindsight there, but at the same time, a lot's changed with this football team, with how this team's structured and what they know they can and can't spend. I'm going to be interested to see what the line is for Orlando Brown Jr. A guaranteed money too is another piece of this that I'm fascinated by. Like, Ronnie Stanley got $64 million guaranteed on his contract, I believe, in 2021.
A lot.
That's a lot of money.
He was young. I think that was the thing. He was young when he signed it.
Well, and if you look at some of the younger guys, I mean, Cam Robinson got 63% of his contract guaranteed. Laremy Tunsil got 61% of his contract guaranteed. Ronnie Stanley got 65% of his contract guaranteed. And all three of those guys sit in the top seven of contracts. Colton Miller, 46% of his contract was guaranteed. With $18 million APY, and he's the sixth highest paid tackle. So, I mean, I'm guessing that's going to be a fascinating piece of this too, is how much guaranteed money on top of just APY, how much guaranteed money the Chiefs have to shell out for this deal, because the Chiefs, I mean, that's a lot of guaranteed money for them.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I mean,
it is. It is. And I mean, they have not tended to go quite as high with the guarantees outside of Mahomes, obviously, but they've not tended to go quite as heavy with some of those guarantees, especially, you know, at offensive line. They've kind of paid those guys a little more year to year and structured it that in that way. And I mean, that makes sense. Those guys go through a lot of attrition. You don't want to, you know, put all of that guaranteed in there. But that being said, I mean, Orlando Brown Jr. has not missed it. You know, he's missed one game in his entire career right now. One game. Like that's saying something for a physical guy that is in the shape that he is and all of that. Like, I mean, I could see them looking at that and saying, hey, listen, we got to, in order to get this thing across the line, maybe we got to hit the guarantee. So maybe the actual number, the APY, is maybe closer to like 19 or 20, but the guarantees are huge, much like the Ronnie Stanley contract there, where he can just say, hey, listen, I'm here for another 4 years. You guys have committed to me for 4 years with this guarantee structure. So yeah, I'm going to stick here. I'm going to be here for a long haul. You guys believe in me. You believe in my ability to progress. You know, you saw what happened throughout the year. You know, everybody remembers the beginning of the year when he was giving up sacks and Patrick Mahomes is drifting out of the back of the pocket. Nobody really says as much about the end of the year when he was a much better player, was setting everything a lot better, was he was just an overall better player, a better left tackle, and they kind of adjusted the offense to help him a little bit more, and it worked. So I can see them maybe ponying up a little bit more. I do want to mention this real quick. Right now, with Joe Tooney being paid top of the market guard money, and you've got Orlando Brown coming in at maybe top of the market tackle money, and you got three other rookies. That is an average of $8 million per player right now along the offensive line. If you go through a lot of these offensive lines in the NFL, you're spending $7 to $9 million a guy. You know, you talk about spot duty guys, getting these guys to come in, veterans and things like that. You end up paying, around that $6, $7, $8 million range. So now all of a sudden you're looking at it, it's like, yes, you are allowed to spend that money on Orlando Brown Jr. as Kent talked about, because you got all the rest of those rookies. $8 million a player, that's not too terribly much when you're talking about protecting the best quarterback in the NFL.
Well, especially when you're paying a guard tackle money for one of those spots.
Well, I mean, hey, I mean, is it? It is still tackle money, but like, you know, I was looking at this 58.75% of Joe Tooney's contract, I believe, is guaranteed. They can get out of his contract
that breaks Maddie's brain
in 2025. In 2020, after the 2024 season, they can get out of Joe Tooney's contract right when it's time to start paying Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith,
and only eat a small left tackle worth of salary and dead cap to do so.
No, it's
13 million.
No. After the 2024 season.
Oh, okay. I
leading into the 2025 year, they can.
Taking the 3 year out. Okay.
No, I wasn't.
So you just meant cutting off his final year.
Yeah, you cut off his last year. Oh, I'm sorry. No, and I was wrong. It's 40. It's only 40% of his contract is actually guaranteed.
Yeah, it's still a good chunk. I mean, it was still a good chunk, and it's been good. I just, you know, it's gonna be fun to joke about how the Chiefs are always paying a left guard, left tackle money.
They're paying him. I'm going to look. They're paying him Jordan Mailata money.
Yeah.
They're paying him Taylor Lewan money.
Yeah.
That's interesting. But yeah, I mean, they're going to have to go, you know, they're going to go probably. I mean, do you think he resets the market? Do we think, yes or no? We'll go around the table. Do we think Orlando Brown Jr. resets the market? Yes or no, Maddie?
No.
Okay.
No further explanation. I'm going to say yes, but it's going to be guaranteed money. I know I just got done saying the Chiefs don't want to do that, but he's young.
Ronnie Stanley has an absurd amount of guaranteed money. I don't think you're getting over that.
So what do we think?
That's an absurd amount.
That's 65% of $100 million contract was guaranteed.
Yep.
It's a lot. The reason it was a questionable no is just because he's so young. He's clearly not as good as Bakhtiari or Trent Williams, but if he gets, let's say he even just matches them or gets just under, you now have him as a new that's the guy, that's the Christian Kirk that everyone's going to go into the negotiations to use. And so technically that is resetting the market, right? So like, I would say Orlando Brown anywhere over 21 million is probably resetting the market, even though he's not actually going to be the highest paid. He's just going to be the guy that comes up in every negotiation for every left tackle coming up, mm-hmm. because I think that's where he is. He's good enough to get around that much money, but he's also not so clearly good enough that you can't bring his name up for why the next guy to get paid shouldn't get more, if that makes sense. So like, he's going to be the bargaining chip. So yeah, he's setting the market in that way. He's just not going to get the most money. And I would be floored if he beat Stanley's guaranteed money.
And when you say the Christian Kirk thing, he's better than Christian Kirk.
He is.
It makes
Sorry.
Sense. Yeah.
I just wanted to go with the most recent guy that's like running every negotiation for a position.
For sure.
I think he sits right under Trent Williams' deal when it's all said and done on an APY. Just and under Ronnie Stanley on guaranteed, but not far off. So I'm right there on the lines.
And if he's representing himself, he's probably making more than those guys did.
Well, I mean, who knows what he's doing? That's
right, just go to the Russell Okung school of agenting yourself at this point in time. Like, right, just go that route, I guess.
Do you remember really quick? The thing that bothers me about, well, I'm circling back. You know how we hear this line all the time? Well, these big deals take a lot of time.
They don't.
Well, a lot of time is rolling on right now. So something's either not true. Every time you say these deals take time is wrong, is not true, or this thing's going to, I don't know. It's just like we're running out of time here in Kansas City with the Orlando Brown situation. Eric Fisher's out there. So if push comes to shove, you could just bring Eric Fisher back.
Before we move on, Britton Ewell asked, what about having Joe Tooney play left tackle? Just quickly address that. I think whether the Chiefs get Orlando Brown Jr. back or not, I don't think they will ever plan on Joe Tooney being their left tackle. I don't even think Joe Tooney is going to be a backup left tackle option for them. I think he's very clearly an emergency left tackle, as seen in the Bengals game when Orlando Brown Jr. couldn't play and then Lucas Niang gets hurt. And then all of a sudden now it is time to go into him. So like, I think that he is going to stay at guard. They don't want to move him to tackle unless they absolutely have to. They would probably bring back an Eric Fisher over letting Tooney play left tackle. It would be my assumption.
Yeah. Joe Tooney has 32.25-inch arms. 32.25.
That
does not fly for Andy Reid. Just period. It just doesn't.
And like, yes, he's played there in a pinch, but I don't know if you want to make him the permanent solution there at the position. Like, I think you don't. It's nice to have the flexibility. It's great to have the flexibility, and you could probably throw him out there for a couple games, and that's great. I just don't know if that's what you want to be your sustainable model. The good news is, Orlando Brown Jr. is a Chief this year for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's probably not a scenario where he's not, unless the Chiefs are somehow trading him. But I don't think that's happening. I think, he's going to play on the franchise tag this year. It's just a matter of if the Chiefs can get him on a bigger deal, on a longer term deal. And if they can get it done this year, be fascinated, because I think the longer this ordeal plays out with him selecting an agent, that bleeds into, the potential for them to negotiate. I'm very much fascinated in monitoring. Hey, really quick, if you guys are liking this show, please feel free to hit the subscribe button, the like button, leave a comment, all that good stuff. It'd be great. It helps the show as we're growing. It helps us while we're on right now, apparently. So yeah, feel free to like, subscribe. If you're listening audio only, please feel free to leave a 5-star review. That's always a great thing as well. We don't do enough about those, but those also help us. We used to do it all the time, but now we don't. Please feel free to leave a 5-star review. That'd be wonderful. All right, one more thing before we get out of here. It's really positive news. And I'm not just saying, Bobby Stroop seems to be working with George Karloftis, the Chiefs first-round pick. And I think all three of us, when we saw that, our ears perked up. Our posture changed. We kind of got a little intrigued because you've seen the flexibility that Patrick Mahomes has, and the applicable flexibility. Boy, George Karloftis get a little bit more fluidity through his frame from Bobby Stroop's workout programs, that's very tantalizing.
Yeah, and as a Chiefs fan, and I would say any sports fan, but especially, you know, I'm not a big Royals guy, but you go watch, you know, Bobby Witt Jr., you can bring baseball into this too. Any fan of any team, like if you have a athlete that is on a team that you enjoy and he is working with Bobby, then like you should feel pretty good. Like he's very clearly really good at what he does. And yes, working with the talents and just like the natural raw ability of a Patrick Mahomes or a Bobby Witt Jr., does kind of change things, but you just look, he puts a lot of it out there, just shows you some of the drills, some of his philosophy. You can really start to draw correlations on how that works and how you can directly see a lot of this stuff on the field and why it can be very position specific, can be sport specific, whatever he wants to make it, he can get it there. So like, you're going to be excited for, it's a good trainer and that what he can do with the detail of his planning. And then like specifically with George Karloftis, I'm highly intrigued because this is the first defensive lineman that I know of that's working with Bobby. And there could have been more that I haven't seen, but this is the first one that I know at the NFL level that has enough an NFL level of athleticism, right? What's going to be the skill specific stuff and how's it going to translate? It's obviously worked great for Mahomes at quarterback. It's working for Bobby Witt Jr. at third base or wherever he's playing anymore. I don't know. I don't watch. What's always it going to look like for a defensive end now? And is he going to get more flexible? What's it going to look like? What are the drills? And then how's it going to pay off? And then my only other take is George looks lean. That's it. Just George looks lean compared to what he looked like at Purdue this last year. George looks really, really lean right now. So that's a plus.
Yeah, he really does. He looks closer to how he looked as a freshman. You know, he really does. And that's a very positive thing. I think a lot of the drills that Bobby's been highlighting as well, you know, lots of them on his Instagram page that are highlighting they're working on that sort of torsion, that flexibility. And I think, honestly, I saw that and I got really exceptionally excited for George Karloftis. I mean, I was excited about the motor. I was excited about seeing him play it a little bit lighter. You know, as I wrote about on KCSN Daily, you can go there, subscribe, find that article. I covered his 2019 versus 2021. I got really excited because I saw the athletic profile and I went, that guy can play. That guy, not that he couldn't play in 2021, but that guy was a higher ceiling prospect, a guy that we would have been exceptionally excited about.
He wouldn't have been there at 30.
He wouldn't have been there. He wouldn't have been there. Now all of a sudden you've got him working with a guy that has worked with Patrick Mahomes, worked with Chris Godwin, worked with Jedrick Wills. These guys, you know, he's tailored plans to make them the best players that they can be. And so you get excited about anybody working with Bobby. Obviously we know Bobby. Bobby's been on, you know, the podcast and everything like that. So we are a pro Bobby channel here, but he does some of his best work tailoring things specifically to making these guys hit their ceilings. And so far, as you go through his client list, you look at these guys and you're like, man, he's done a damn good job of hitting all these guys' ceilings. So George being in that boat, not only just being in that boat, going to OTAs, working his ass off at OTAs, and then going to Bobby afterwards and working his ass off there, I think that shows the character of the individual. We've talked about football character a lot lately, but the character of the individual and how he's willing to put in the work. My stock is up on George Karloftis right now. It really is. I'm excited to see him come out and play now.
I am too. I mean, I've been fascinated. I think I've been curious if the process, like, I think, you know, like we talk about this sometimes, like sometimes the process helps guys differently than others. The pre-draft process, I've wondered if there's been a little bit of that there. He does look a little bit lighter than he has, which intrigues you. Cause like, I remember Maddie telling us back in March, like, hey, go watch George Karloftis from 2019. And it's like, oh, okay. Like, this is some different movement skills, maybe playing a little bit lighter. And kind of seems like that's the case. And yeah, you see Bobby working with him, like, okay, stock up. Like, the football character and the willingness to try maybe things that weren't part of your initial plan, throwing your ego out the window and doing it a way that you believe is going to help you achieve greatness. Those are all, you know, trying something that maybe he wasn't doing. I don't know if he was working with Bobby Stroop pre-draft, but I didn't see anything. So, you know, the fact that he's willing to work with somebody that's, you know, that he believes is going to help Taylor make, you know, a plan for him. That's good too. Like I saw a quote from Carl Loftus talking about how he loves the process month to month. He likes the off season. He likes all that kind
of
stuff.
Of course he does.
Sure he does.
Of course he does. And he's maximizing it. I can't wait to see what the NFL version, what the professional version of George Karlaftis looks like. And he's in wonderful hands for his development. All right, that is going to do it for the KC Laboratory. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you to Maddie Lane for not interrupting me. We'll catch you later.